I'd like to welcome everyone to Breaking It Down. Frank McKay here. Much more importantly, Diane Brisky is an activist and also the author of a wonderful book. From Now You See Me, From Endangered to Extinction is the name of the book. And always with something to add, and a lover of our environment and trying to get the word out there and awareness for everything. Diane Brisky, welcome.
Hi, thanks, Frank.
How are you feeling? I know you've been battling a back issue. You feeling all right?
Well, I'm still in a little bit of pain, but really a lot of pain, but a little bit more pain in what our environment is all about and what's happening. That's why I really wanted to talk to you today. I started reading Al Gore's book, and he's really big on the climate control.
Yeah,
and
he's
the fact
great.
That,
he's absolutely great.
Yes, and that the climate is a big issue now. And what I found out over this past week is that Scott Pruitt, who is now the head of EPA and a good friend of the president, I don't want to say going against, but he is undoing what the EPA stood for, what is supposed to be the Environmental Protection Agency. And that has a lot to do with the climate control, that you know that Washington, the Senate, and the Congress people have declared there's no such thing. To go back on, what was done before, that the scientists and researchers were doing, is that those things are not on hold. They're just not doing them. Now, what I did research on this past week is the emissions. Now, we know everything has to breathe oxygen,
yes,
of course. CO2. And what I found out is that the coal industry and some of the pollutants. Now, we talked last week that the biggest invasive species on the planet is man. And it seems to me that men are ignoring what is going through the air. And what I didn't know is that not just the oil that's spilling over into the oceans, but the air, which is the oxygen. I mean, we have to breathe air, but the plants have to breathe air too, whether they're above ground or underground. Or not underground, but under the ocean. The seaweed, even in your fish tanks, if you put real seaweed in there, that gives off the oxygen so that the fish can breathe. So what's happening with the emissions that are coming from airplanes, coming from the ships, go into the ocean. And technically, some of that is killing. Now, this is the bad emissions, okay? Yeah. Because you have some good oxygen under there. That helps the algae to grow on the coral, which we've talked about. A lot of species eat that coral. And it also helps the environment. We talked about that last week, about the seeds and all that. And the air, which they've already discussed, that's a big part of climate control. What happens when the bad oxygen gets in the water? It stifles that growth, and it's also killing it at the same time because it's raising the temperature of the water. And the Arctic water is getting warmer. That's why our ice floes and icebergs are melting, and the shoreline of the Arctic is getting smaller. so that it not only affects the well, the global warming we know exists. I mean, let's be honest here.
You'd have to be you'd have to be delusional or an ostrich sticking your head in the sand not to believe in climate change. Let me remind folks though who they're listening to. Diane Brisky, once again, the author of Now You See Me, From Endangered to Extinction. Frank McKay here with Diane. Diane, continue.
Sure. Okay. We know, and you're right. People are ignoring it. Now, I'm not talking about people like you and I. We know because we see. People, I'm going to say Congress, you know, the government has just turned an about face on what's been done in the past. And I haven't finished his book, I just started it, but I am a big adversary of Al Gore. You know, he won, I believe it is the Nobel Prize.
Yeah, he did.
Right, and he is, as well as President Obama was, they're looking at the world through wide open eyes. The Congress and the government now, it costs money. You're probably a little older than me, or I could be older than you. When the big thing was the exhaust coming out of cars.
The emissions,
right, and the fog. So they wanted to change the gas and all of that stuff. Well, maybe it worked. You don't hear so much about smog in the States as much. I guess if you live in California, there is. And what they wanted to do was to put some kind of a filter on those structures that sort of worked as a sieve, you know, and the good air went through and it kept the bad air. But as an example, where I taught school in Detroit, just down the street from us, was a garbage dump. And it gave off. They kept telling us, no, there's nothing wrong. It's not going to affect you in this. But I would drive to work, and I would get out of my car, and I could smell that. So you can't tell me that that wasn't coming off to affect me as well as children. What they're trying to do is filter that to tell us, no, there's no problem, so that we would believe them. And you know, it wasn't stupidity, but you trusted them.
Yeah.
Right. And what I found out was that Sweden takes all of their garbage and I'm not sure what the technical name is, but what they do is it's not recycling and it's not burning. But what they do with their garbage is they destroy it in a manner than what we're doing. And their garbage does not end up in a landfill. Like ours,
yeah.
And when it goes in a landfill, it takes years and years for diapers to dissolve and plastic bottles and all that. So
where does it go? If it doesn't go in a landfill, where does Sweden's garbage go?
You know, I really don't know.
Yeah.
I haven't finished that article. All I know is that it is successful. They have no landfills over there. And the landfills, just in Michigan alone, they get taller and taller and taller. And I really don't know what they do with the recycling that they do. I know some of the plastic is recycled. You know, now they have the cans that are recycled. I don't even know if they let the public what they're doing. You know, they leave us trusting them that they're taking care of the environment, where I believe they're not. You know, that's what the EPA was all about.
Yeah.
They were supposed to be out there helping the environment, helping the animals, and with the emphasis now on doing something with the emissions. I know that Trump was all for the coal industry. You know, and what they don't well, coal is fossil fuel. And yes, there probably are still homes that run on the coal. But that emissions that are is coming out is terrible for the environment. Not just the environment, but the men that are working in the mines. A lot of them come out with black lung, which to me is the oxygen that's in there is not good for them.
Yeah, you know what? You know? So many studies, and I mean, now we have a long sample size, a large sample size of that. Wait, actually, before I say this, I'll remind everyone, Diane Briskey is the voice that you're hearing, author and activist Diane Briskey, with me here, Frank McKay. But there's been many, many documented studies about coal miners and the life expectancy compared to the rest of the world. I mean, they're dying at a very young age. You know, these these men and women and that are there, and it's mostly men. But it's just really terrible. I mean, and anybody who is denying that, I think, is sticking their head in the sand or just lying to us.
Right, and that's their livelihood. You know, it's like a grandfather was a coal miner, father is a coal miner, now son is a coal miner, and we need that for certain things. And you know, in the news you hear a lot about fossil fuel, and what I don't understand is, are they taking the coal and turning it into something? I don't know. The oil companies don't care about what the oil is doing to the government. It does seep in the land. It seeps into the land. And what I've read and what happens is that some of the animals that are in places where they can breed the emissions from airplanes is another big thing. They breathe that, and that injures their respiratory system, and then you get an animal that's a prey animal. Once the prey animals have died literally from asphyxiation, respiratory problems, then you get a predator comes and eats that prey, and eventually that predator dies. There's another circle.
Yeah.
And I don't know what can be done other than people writing their congressmen and senators to do something, because there is a committee for the environmental you know what I mean, the Environmental Protection Agency.
Yeah, for sure.
And but they're ignoring it, and to turn back what Congress and in the past have done is putting us in a situation that I'm not going to say hopeless, but is, to me, it seems never ending. I mean, we're never going to face it. We're never going to have a perfect world, but we should have something that leaves a legacy of what we have now, instead of losing the insects. I mean, you know, they're out in the air all the time, and for people. I don't know, I believe it's in China or Japan that walk around with the surgical masks on.
Yeah.
I think that's probably so they don't inhale. I mean, they don't have, they drive a lot of bicycles and with the cars. And you can't put a filter on a car. It has to run on some kind of fuel. I don't believe in plugging your car in. to use the electricity, or you know, the self-driving cars. They're trying to come up with things, and I feel that what they need to do is look at something that's simple. You know, yeah. I mean, I'm all for going back forth to horses. You know, I would rather, it's a lot cheaper to feed a horse and ride it. You don't get any admissions, plus their dung. They're grass eaters. That helps to reseed the land. A lot of people, I remember my girlfriend's father, when she worked at the zoo, would go there and load up his trailer with elephant dung and bring it back and spread it on his garden. It was all natural.
Yeah, right.
You know, and why can't something, some man was trying to take the grease from his grill and turn that into some kind of a fuel.
Yeah.
There's recycling right there, whether it worked or not. But, you know, to me, it's going to be something very simple. But no one wants to take the time to research that, because the government does not want to go against the car industry. They don't want to go against the oil. They don't want to go against coal miners. Because, and we've talked about this before, it all comes down to money.
Yeah,
it costs money. Costs money to do research. Costs money for these scientists. And the young people now that are going to college and taking all these biology classes, marine biology, to me, they're doing something positive where our own government is not. And that's a shame. That's not what we elected them for.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. Diane Brisky, Frank, here with me, Frank McKay. And Diane, you're bringing up all these great points. I don't think we're going to be reverting back to horses and buggies, unfortunately, mm-hmm. right? So we're not going to do that. I just wish we can get an EPA commissioner or EPA director that understands that climate change is real. I mean, it's just this is ridiculous. It's like we're in a bizarro
right.
world. I mean, how are we supposed to take that seriously?
That's right. What really bothers me, and I guess what really hurts me to the core, is that nothing is being done for the environment. And everything that's in the environment, whether it's plants, animals, insects, the ocean, whatever, that's part of our world. And if the people in government can't understand that, then maybe it's time that we get them out.
Yeah.
And get somebody in there that's going to say, yeah, you know, the people are right. Now, I found out that we talked last week about the insects.
Yep.
We talked about the honeybees and the pollen eaters and the insects that eat other insects, you know, the drastic insects, that without the bumblebees and some of the honeybees, we wouldn't have strawberries, avocados, blueberries, a lot of our fruits and vegetables. We wouldn't have them without the pollination that they give us. And what's the first thing they came out with? Insecticides to get rid of them.
Wow. Yeah.
Now, we used to hear a lot about the insecticides, and farmers would put the insecticides on their crops, and little animals that would come and nibble on their vegetables and that. Let's say, for example, mice. Well, the coyotes would come in and eat the mice. The mice were already dying from the insecticides, hence the cycle. I ate this that's full of insecticide poison. coyotes were dying.
Yeah, it everything is connected, and it's so important to understand that. We're coming to the end here. Do we have you for a second show today?
Sure can.
Diane Briskey is the author of the wonderful book, Now You See Me, From Endangered to Extinction. Frank McKay here with Diane Briskey. And we want to thank all of you for tuning in. But listen, get on your public officials. They've got to care about the environment. They have to change some of these horrendous laws. And by all means, we need somebody that heads the EPA that understands that climate change is real, global warming is real, and if we don't, then we're just going to accelerate the absolute nonsense that's going on. Frank McKay signing off. Diane Briskey has been our very special guest. We'll see you all next time on Breaking It Down.